The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows laundry day should be easy. Achieve maximum versatility with a dryer door that swings open either way, making load transfer from washer to dryer a breeze. Plus, with LG ThinQ, save time by controlling your washer remotely. Shop LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances, today at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's episode is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Laurie for bringing Jeremiah's story to my attention. This is a story of monumental catastrophic failure. State social workers were all that stood between the five-year-old and disaster. But instead of protecting him, they let him suffer alone. He was just one endangered child among many. His precious little life failing to rise to the top of a pile of case files on a desk. Poor little Jeremiah was just a number. Nameless and faceless to the social workers assigned to his case. December 2013, Fitchburg, Massachusetts. A girl reveals a horrifying secret to her teacher. That her stepfather had been abusing her and her brother. Not only that, but her youngest brother. She hadn't seen him in several months. What this brave and amazing little girl did was what many failed to do. She did not forget her brother and advocated for his justice when there was no one left who cared. This is Jeremiah's story. Jeremiah Oliver was born December 8, 2008, in New Britain, Connecticut, to parents Elsa and Jose Oliver. Jeremiah would be the baby of the family with two older siblings, a sister and a brother. All were quite close in age, with only 3.5 years between Jeremiah and his eldest sibling. Unfortunately, the Oliver family home was not one of happiness and safety. Oliver and Jose would both abuse drugs and violently each other. Not long after Jeremiah was born, Jose was arrested on an assault and battery charge, but would actually go to jail due to heroin possession. This break from Jose's control gave Oliver the strength to get a restraining order against her estranged husband. Oliver and the three children moving to Florida to live with her mother. September 2011 would mark the first time the Oliver family came to the attention of the Department of Children and Families, or DCF as we'll refer to them throughout this story. However, why it is only now the family are referred to DCF and not earlier, what with the physical violence and the drug use when Oliver and Jose were together, I don't know. I've stopped trying to understand child protection agencies. DCF would receive reports of 2-year-old Jeremiah and his siblings, aged 4 and 6 years old. They were being neglected. But a social worker would be assigned to the case and were to visit the family once a month. Referrals were also made to services to assist Oliver with improving her parenting and better provide the children with what they needed, like with clothing, furniture, medical appointments, etc., etc. The social worker even worked with Oliver's daughter's school to better support the family. And the family seemed to be thriving. That was until the family moved to Massachusetts. We are going to take a quick break now for a word from this week's sponsor. Advertisements and podcasts are a necessary evil. it allows the podcast to remain accessible to everyone and allows me to continue with weekly, sometimes bi-weekly episodes. Discover why Stephen King is raving about the blockbuster new thriller from New York Times bestselling author Emiko Jean. He says The Return of Ellie Black is a page-turning suspense novel, a shrewd character study, and a captivating mystery all at the same time. I couldn't put it down until I'd experienced every last twist and turn. Detective Chelsea Calhoun's life is turned upside down when she gets the call Ellie Black, a girl who disappeared years earlier, has resurfaced in the woods of Washington State. But Ellie's reappearance forces Chelsea to ask questions with deadly answers. Read The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, available wherever books are sold. January 2013. Oliver and the three children moved into a three-bedroom rental home on Clarendon Street in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. The child protection file was transferred to the local DCF office, and a social worker was assigned to the case. But there would be no visits with the family until May 2013, 4 months later. What triggered this visit was of great concern. One of the children told their teacher at the Rheingold Elementary School that his mother had struck him with a belt on his back, legs and feet. A few days later, May 20th, 2013, a DCF social worker completed a home visit with the family. Now, Oliver admitted to striking the children with a belt, but had not done so in over a year. Oliver also told the social worker the family were planning on going to Florida on a vacation to her mother's for the summer. According to the social worker report, all three children were observed. This would be the last time Jeremiah would be seen by DCF workers. It was also around this time 28-year-old Elsa Oliver entered into a new relationship with 22-year-old Alberto Sierra Jr. I honestly don't know what these mothers see in these men. Sierra had a long history of domestic violence allegations, dating back to when he was still in high school, after he sent his then-girlfriend text messages stating he was going to find her and finish her. He would sit outside her home and track her every moment. And if male friends tried to protect this young girl, Sierra would threaten to kill them too. In another instance, he beat an ex-girlfriend and her son and threatened to burn their house down if she left him. Sierra would also claim to be a member of the Latin Kings gang. He used his brother, 21-year-old Christian Sierra, Christian's girlfriend, 21-year-old Kaylee Thibault, and their friend, 21-year-old Ashley Cormer, to intimidate and threaten anyone they didn't like or got in their way. And remember these three people, as they will come up again in the story. Obviously willing to follow Sierra despite how monstrous his actions were. In August 2013, Oliver and the children moved to 276 Kimball Street, Fitchburg. Sierra would move in with them shortly after. December 13, 2013. The eldest of the Oliver children, a 7-year-old girl, came to school in a poor emotional state. Her teacher, recognising this wasn't normal for the shy little girl, pulled her aside and asked her what was wrong. Now, everyone let Jeremiah down. Everyone but this brave and amazing little girl. She would tell her teacher and the school counsellor that her mother's new boyfriend had been abusing her, her mother and her siblings. Not only that, but she hadn't seen her baby brother, 5-year-old Jeremiah, for months. Massachusetts State Police and the Fitchburg Local Police went to the Oliver family home with a search warrant in the hopes they would find some answers to the little girl's claims. Oliver denied all the accusations, stating that the family had gone to visit her mother in Florida, but it was decided that Jeremiah would remain there living with his maternal grandmother. But when police followed this up, Jeremiah was not at all in Florida. But not only that, they hadn't seen the little boy since the family returned to Massachusetts from their vacation 4 months earlier. That no one had seen Jeremiah since early September. A state juvenile court judge ordered Oliver to account for her missing son, but she refused to answer the judge's questions. Oliver was then given 72 hours to produce her son. What is clear in the footage from this time, Oliver's face is covered in bruises. She has black eyes and swollen cheekbones. It was clear she had been recently assaulted. 3 days later, December 16, 2013, there was still no Jeremiah. And the Worcester County Prosecutor charged Elsa Oliver with 2 counts of reckless endangerment of a child, as well as 2 counts of accessory after the fact of a felony. These latter charges were related to the physical abuse of Jeremiah's siblings. Oliver was arrested and charged into the Worcester County Jail and held under a $5,000 cash bond. According to the official police interview with Jeremiah's siblings, Sierra punched and slapped their mother and he held a knife to her face. He struck the children with his fists and a black belt with a gold buckle, one time causing a child's bottom to bleed. Another incident had Sierra knocking a child off of the bathroom toilet with such force it caused him to fall on the floor. According to Oliver's children, it seemed that Sierra had become the disciplinarian soon after moving in with the family. Alberto Sierra Jr. would be arrested and charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, being a knife against his partner Oliver, and 2 counts of assault and battery on a child causing bodily injury. He was denied bail. Both Sierra and Oliver pleaded not guilty to all charges. Jeremiah's brother and sister were taken into child protective custody, while police tried to figure out what was going on here and where the missing boy was. Fitchburg police officers, canine units, and as many as 100 volunteers searched the vicinity of the Oliver home without finding Jeremiah. And much to everyone's dismay, the case was upgraded from a missing person search to that of a homicide investigation.
Spread across the Fitchburg neighborhood, searching for any sign of a missing boy. Family, friends, and strangers all taking part. Jeremiah Oliver hasn't been seen in months.
And that search is considered to be a long shot at best. News Center 5's Liam Martin now with more from Fitchburg.
More than 100 people.
Be with us as we go out there and help this to be fruitful, we pray in Jesus' name.
From all over the Fitchburg area, took to the woods and train tracks Saturday.
Some that way, some this way.
Hoping to find some sign of 5-year-old Jeremiah Oliver.
I just want to find my son. That's it. That's all I'm concerned about.
Jose Oliver is Jeremiah's biological father. He hadn't seen the boy in 2 years after Elsa Oliver left him. But Jose says he's here now, living a nightmare.
I would tell her just talk. Give my son back. If he's alive, give him back. If he's not, then say he's not. But tell me where he's at so we can bury him.
She may likely have a substantial disorder of mood and thought.
Elsa and her boyfriend Alberto Sierra are under arrest in the case, facing child abuse charges. Jeremiah was last seen in September and is feared dead. Authorities say Elsa isn't talking.
I did call the detective a couple of days ago and I asked him if he can talk to his boss so I can see if they can let me talk to her. Because I believe she'll probably talk to me.
A neighbour would report that she heard loud noises the night prior, December 12th, and that she had seen the 2 older children, but in her 2 months of living in the same apartment building as the family, she had never seen Jeremiah. The search continued for this little boy, but no trace of Jeremiah could be found. And it would seem that the 5-year-old's disappearance was destined to go cold, never to be solved. That was until April 2014, when everyone's worst nightmares were realised. April 18, 2014. Jailhouse informant Eric Perez contacted his police contact. Perez told them that he'd received information about where the remains of Jeremiah Oliver had been placed, and the location he supplied was correct. That very same day, Worcester County District Attorney Joe Early announced that Jeremiah's body had been found. The 5-year-old was found wrapped in a blanket inside of a suitcase in a grassy area 40 feet off Interstate 190 southbound lane, not far from Sterling, Massachusetts, and only 12 miles from his home. Unfortunately, due to decomposition, Jeremiah's cause of death has never been able to be determined. Listed on his death certificate is only homicide violence of undetermined etiology. In the days after Jeremiah's discovery, DCF Commissioner Olga Roach assured the public that, quote, DCF continues to focus on Jeremiah's siblings to ensure they are receiving the support they need during this very difficult time. Unquote. The commissioner admitted that the boy's killing reflected a serious failure on the part of the Child Protection Agency. And the public demanded answers, not only over the inaction of DCF in keeping Jeremiah and his siblings safe, but also why did it take authorities so long to find him, given Jeremiah was found in quite an open and well-travelled area. Jeremiah's father, Jose Oliver, echoing these thoughts during a cell phone interview with a radio station, quote, "I know the body has not been there for 6 months. I believe the body was thrown there the day earlier. Anyone that drives through there, you could see it. There's more people involved in this besides my wife and Alberto Sierra. A couple of people know what happened. My question is, who did it and why did they do it? I want answers." Unquote.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The night after Jeremiah was found, the community held a candlelight vigil in front of the family's apartment in the little boy's honour. Hundreds being in attendance, leaving behind flowers, balloons and stuffed toys. This community took Jeremiah's death personally and were devastated that he was gone. Jeremiah Oliver's funeral was held on May 3, 2014. At the Rollstone Catholic Church in Fitchburg. There were so many people wanting to say goodbye to the little boy that they spilled onto the footpath outside of the church. Jose Oliver gave a tearful eulogy addressing his son's small white coffin, Jose asking Jeremiah for his forgiveness. Quote, "I am sorry, as a father and as a man, that I could not be there to protect you." Unquote. Family members and close friends wore blue sweatshirts with the words Team Jeremiah and Jeremiah's smiling face shining out from the front. Jeremiah was buried at the Hope Memorial Cemetery in Worcester. Jose used the attention Jeremiah's funeral received by the media to announce he was fighting for custody of his two older children. That after Oliver and the children left him, he had cleaned up from drugs and received treatment for his bipolar. But DCF argued back that he would need to prove this to them and he would have a long fight ahead of him. Now, Jose would never meet DCF's requirements and Jeremiah's siblings would remain in foster care because on January 2, 2015, Jose would be arrested by drug investigators with three bundles of heroin worth up to $300, which he attempted to sell to an undercover police officer. March 2014. A Worcester County grand jury indicted Oliver and Sierra on charges of kidnapping and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, as well as reckless endangerment. Oliver was held on a $125,000 bail and Sierra on $100,000. Three other people were also indicted for interfering with a criminal investigation and misleading the police. And who were the other three people but Sierra's little gang? His brother Christian Sierra, Christian's girlfriend Kaylee Thibault, and friend Ashley Cormer. The trio were accused of denying speaking with the couple following Jeremiah's disappearance. This was despite there being phone records showing there were numerous phone calls and physical meetings. Thibault in particular, sending Oliver text messages threatening her with violence in the days after Jeremiah disappeared. Ultimately, Thibault and Cormer would both receive 12 months probation. Christian Sierra would be sentenced to 2.5 years in prison, but would only serve 135 days before being granted parole. investigators questioned local tattoo artists after they discovered Oliver had what seemed to be a new tattoo of a butterfly, with Jeremiah's birth date on one wing and September 25th, 2013 on the other. The hope was that maybe Oliver had told the artist that did the tattoo what the significance of that September date was. But unfortunately, nothing came of this lead. April 2017. The prosecution team agreed to a plea deal for Oliver and Sierra. Oliver and Sierra pleaded guilty to two counts of reckless endangerment of a child as well as assault and battery. Now, these are separate from whatever happened to Jeremiah, and the thought process behind this was if further information was found to prove Jeremiah was murdered by either Oliver or Sierra, it would eliminate any possible risk of a double jeopardy claim in connection with the little boy's death. August 2017. Alberto Sierra Jr. was sentenced to 6 to 7 years in state prison, and he was released on parole in 2020. A week later, Elsa Oliver was sentenced to 7.5 years in jail. She was also released on parole in 2020. And then in May 2023, more than 9 years after Jeremiah's body was found, finally some justice for little Jeremiah Oliver. Alberto Sierra Jr. was arrested and charged with a 5-year-old's murder and disinterring a body. Fitchburg Police Chief Ernest Martineau telling the media gathered outside the courthouse, quote, "We made a commitment 10 years ago that we would never forget, and that came to fruition yesterday," unquote.
We gave him a voice from the day this came to our attention.
It's a case that has never left the Fitchburg police chief. The murder of 5-year-old Jeremiah Oliver nearly a decade ago. And today, with his mother's former boyfriend, 32-year-old Alberto Sierra, brought into court, the chief hopes there is finally justice.
This case rocked the conscience of the city of Fitchburg. At one point, we were Jeremiah's family, the 45,000 residents of the city. And we are here today, beginning the process of healing.
Jeremiah had been missing for 7 months before he was found dead, his body discovered inside a suitcase along I-190 in Sterling in April of 2014 after investigators received a tip. Both Sierra and the boy's mother, Elsa Oliver, had faced multiple charges of abuse in the days and years after Jeremiah's death, each serving jail time. But until Wednesday this week, no one had ever been charged with the little boy's murder.
How has this case haunted you, Chief?
It haunts any parent when you see a case like this. Anything that happens to a child just eats at your soul.
According to physical evidence found in the testimonies of Sierra's friends and Jeremiah's incredibly strong siblings, the following was proposed as to what happened to Jeremiah in the lead-up and on the evening his life was stolen from him in September of 2013. From the time Sierra moved in with Oliver and her children, he openly told his friends he smacked her and the children around. In particular, Jeremiah, who Sierra would say he had a bad relationship with because he would damage things in their house. That's because of his alleged behavioural issues, they made him live in the kitchen pantry. Sierra would regularly threaten Oliver with a knife, and at one point, Jeremiah's sister saw her brother with a bloody pinky finger. It is now thought that Sierra had severed the little boy's finger in the weeks before his death. According to the prosecution, on the night of Jeremiah's murder, on or around September 13, 2013, and after the children were placed in bed, Jeremiah in the pantry where he slept, the couple got into a violent argument, which ended in Sierra headbutting Oliver, who then went into the bathroom to clean herself up. During that time, Jeremiah ran out of the kitchen pantry and said something to the effect of, "Don't touch my mummy." This amazing little boy just wanted to protect his mother. However, in response, Sierra grabbed Jeremiah by the head and slammed the preschooler down on the ground. Jeremiah was motionless. But instead of attempting CPR or calling emergency services, Sierra simply picked Jeremiah up and placed him back in the pantry. The following day, when the couple looked into the closet, it was clear Jeremiah had died. Again, instead of calling the authorities, Sierra and Oliver formulated a plan. Jeremiah was placed in a suitcase. They dug a hole and buried the little boy's remains. than any time Sierra was getting nervous that the police were getting too close and they were going to find Jeremiah. The couple would unearth the suitcase and bury Jeremiah at another location. And this could all be tied back to Sierra because the suitcase Jeremiah was found in was owned by Sierra. He'd previously used it to transport his tools. Other items found with Jeremiah were also able to be tied back to Sierra, including the blanket Jeremiah was found in belonged to him. It was deemed Sierra would be held without bail. Defence attorney Marissa Elkins argued that her client needed to be released on bail of no more than $20,000 due to Sierra's medical condition. He suffers from a severe case of rheumatoid arthritis and needed access to an experimental trial he was taking part in. Worcester Supreme Court Judge Karen Bell argued Sierra could access medications in jail. And given the nature and seriousness of the charges, she was going to deny his application for bail. Defence attorney Elkins also has submitted a motion to suppress evidence in Sierra's case, including statements Sierra allegedly made to that jailhouse informant prior to Jeremiah being discovered. There have been no further hearings held regarding this matter to the time of this recording. Alberto Sierra Jr. remains in jail to this day awaiting trial. Sierra has moved jail several times due to safety concerns. He is currently being held at an undisclosed Western Massachusetts jail. In the aftermath of Jeremiah's murder, the governor of Massachusetts, Patrick Duval, promised an investigation into DCF's handling of Jeremiah's case. He asked the Child Welfare League of America to review the workings of the agency, but this was not enough for many, with added pressure for the DCF commissioner, Olga Roche, to be demoted from her position. March 2014. The Child Welfare League found in their report that some DCF workers' caseloads were ridiculously high, with average case files exceeding the state mandated limit of 18 case files per person. However, the Office of the Child Advocate argued this did not excuse DCF for failing to properly monitor 5-year-old Jeremiah Oliver. Quote, "The department lost track of a kid. That's absolutely inexcusable." Unquote. But because of the review by the Child Welfare League, a number of DCF workers that were assigned to Jeremiah's case lost their jobs after it was revealed there were many missed visits and appointments. The social worker assigned to Jeremiah's case had actually missed 8 monthly mandatory visits with the family, when all they were required to do was one a month. Frustratingly, this same social worker received a raise just prior to Jeremiah's disappearance. Not only that, but she also received a merit-based promotion on November 27, 2013. Although this review has led to some operational changes within Massachusetts DCF, besides a local social worker assigned to Jeremiah's case, 2 supervisors were fired and the commissioner, Olga Roche, she resigned. However, there has been no criminal charges brought up against anyone within the DCF. This is despite Jeremiah not being the first child to die under their watch. In the 3 years before Jeremiah was murdered by his mother's boyfriend, 3 other children would lose their lives and 2 more would be seriously injured. In the location where Jeremiah was found now stands a blue cross, Jeremiah's favourite colour. In his memory in July of 2014, Leo Minster Monument Co. created a granite bench, which was installed in Cogshaw Park near the children's playground in Mirror Lake. The bench engraved with the words, "In loving memory of Jeremiah Oliver, may your light always shine bright." The bench also features the names of Jeremiah's brother and sister, as well as a ribbon symbol to denote familial domestic violence. Jeremiah would later be described as a sweet boy who loved his family hard. He was obsessed with Spider-Man and being outdoors. He was your stereotypical boy. Jeremiah was the happiest outdoors at the park and getting dirty. At the time of his murder, 5-year-old Jeremiah was discovering a love of cars, especially modified cars and the noises they made. Jeremiah was so super smart and was a star student at his preschool. There, he loved playing video games, drawing, and building things with blocks. Jeremiah wanted to be a police officer when he grew up, and he loved dressing up as one. Unfortunately, Jeremiah's dream for the future would never get the opportunity to be realised. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the case we discussed today, or any case we talk about on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives on Facebook. Like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Twitter, search lives_stolen, or on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.